Radio you can touch.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Let me just turn around here. The Willard Garvey Crime Prevention Citizen Activist Award.
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
What crime are you preventing? Are you out there
nabbing
bank robbers?
Award.
In real life, such ridiculous nonsense.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome in, everybody. A Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm getting some, I'm hearing myself in my headset. We'll get that corrected. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz here, co-hosting the show until 7 o'clock. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm still hearing that mix minus, Max. He's on it. There, it's gone. No, it's still there. I'm hearing it. Are you hearing it, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm getting the feedback. What are you going to do?
You don't know what you're going to do.
I know. I'm going to take my headset from around my neck and put it elsewhere.
Yeah. Coming up at 5:20 today, Jeff Calkins from the Memphian, longtime Memphis media guy. And, of course, I like to catch up on what's going on with the Memphis Tigers. Wichita State's opponent tonight in Memphis in an American Athletic Conference game. At 5:40, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will join us. K-State, a difficult loss last night. And we'll catch up with Tim Fitzgerald. And then coming up in an hour, number two, picks with Jason Duda, all but having wrapped it up.
Doggone. I wish I could say I was broken up about that, but turns out I'm not. So good for him.
I got to keep my headset on because I got to kind of keep my headset on, but I'm still getting the mix minus.
I don't know what's going
on. I've had that before. Max has just cleared it right up.
He said it's not going on over there for whatever reason. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know that I can do 2 hours like this. Can I? There, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Max.
Do you think he did anything? Or?
Yeah, I think he did something.
Okay.
KU last night kind of struggled at the beginning of the game. When I turned it over, they were down by 12, 10, 12. And as I was watching, TCU looked like maybe the worst team to ever lace them up. KU came back and won fairly handily against the – oh, they were awful. The shots that they missed, I've never seen a team miss shots that badly.
It's weird what's happened to TCU. Not that they're horrible.
They were horrible in that stretch.
They used to be really, really good for a few years under Jamie Dixon.
Watch that game?
No, but I did hear a few minutes of the Jerome Tang pregame show.
Did you? Well, there you go.
For the K-State game.
You're really starting to develop an interest.
I'm amping it up.
No question. K-State, meanwhile, played its version of TCU. They led Baylor the whole way, man, and gave it up in the last 5 or 6 minutes. Lost that game on the road in Waco. And I'm sure Tim Fitzgerald will have some pointed thoughts about K-State basketball, which has kind of fallen off the face of the earth now.
I think he's kind of resigned to that. From everything that I've seen from Fitz, I watch his daily videos quite often.
You do?
It's been a few days since I've watched, but it seems like, you know.
Do I need to do a daily video? Would you watch it?
I don't know, maybe. He's got a bunch of subscribers, though. Do you think you'd have any?
Well, Bernie Miklas, our friend from St. Louis, does one on YouTube. And I've gotten into the habit now where I go up to bed around 9 o'clock and I turn on Bernie's video for the day.
On your phone?
Yeah.
What would your
daily... You know, that's not a bad way to do things.
What would your daily video be about?
Oh, I'd talk about, Shocker basketball.
But you don't have any access. Tim Fitzgerald and Bernie Miklas
have... Bernie doesn't really have access to the Cardinals anymore. I could get access.
I suppose, but I don't know that you would.
I don't know that I would either.
You can make an effort.
What about a Memories of a Sports Writer video?
Wonderful.
Could I sustain that?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because these guys have been doing it for years and years, and this is...
What have I been doing?
They're live, not videos.
Bernie Benklis has been doing videos for years and years.
Hasn't he?
No.
Well?
He came up in the newspaper ranks, just like Tim Fitzgerald,
well, Tim Fitzgerald.
And just like I did.
Whatever. They've been doing it longer than you would be able to. Is that good enough for you?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't think you could do it every day.
Bernie just started doing videos 3 months ago.
I don't think you could do it for 3 months.
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, prove me wrong.
Why?
Prove me wrong.
Why don't you think that? I just want to know.
I don't think you'll take the first step of doing one. So to do 90? No, I don't think that's quite.
Well, I'd have to write down a bunch of topics. Would you tune in to hear me talk about the Wichita Heights basketball team of 1977?
Sure, but who else would?
Maybe some people would.
Nobody in New Mexico. Nobody in Portland or Hartford.
No, that's the advantage they have. They have people who follow the Cardinals and follow K-State. From all over the country.
Exactly. They have a built-in base.
There are people from all over the country who follow Wichita State.
Not much anymore.
Please. That, of course there are.
All over the country?
All over the yes.
Who really have a vested interest.
Did you not notice that whenever Wichita State goes to play on the road somewhere, they always have a good contingent? Now, some of those people they take on their charter.
Right.
But a lot of them are in those cities, and they organize Shocker alumni. Tonight in Memphis, you'll see a good number of people behind the Wichita State bench, not like it was 10 years ago, but you'll see a decent number of people, and those will all have been organized by Shocker alumni.
Do you think if you're hopping on a team charter to go watch any college basketball team, that maybe you have too much money, that maybe there's something else you could be doing?
It's not that they get paid money to do that. They're invited to do that because they donate to the athletic department.
So they don't have to pay to get on the flight.
If they do, I don't know how much. They have to pay for their room and board, but I don't know that they have to pay to be on the flight. I think that's a courtesy extended to them because of their support of the athletic department.
Well, same diff then, I guess.
So if you support an athletic department,
you got
too much money?
If
what are you saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you support enough to take the charter, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, you always come across, you think you have a good point.
I do.
And then you sound like a moron.
No, I don't.
So nobody should support their
that's not what I said.
Athletic department?
When did I say that?
Well, but what are you
saying? No, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I don't really understand it. Like, if I gave the Cleveland Guardians money, what's...
Well, they're a professional sports
okay,
brand.
If I gave Wichita State money, what's the return on my investment there?
Being a fan, being supportive of the program. The
okay.
Perks that come with that, getting on a charter to go to Memphis. And watch a basketball game.
So you're nothing, really, essentially, is what you're saying.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, I'm not going to make my money back. I don't know. Just, okay, I guess.
Are you the tightest person who ever lived?
No, I'm not, actually.
It seems like you are.
I don't care what it seems like.
You give because you want to support. Yeah, most of the people who give substantially to Wichita State or Kansas or whomever, whatever university. Yeah, they have a decent amount of money. But a lot of people just give $100.
Good for them.
Or $200 or whatever they can give.
Well, that's very nice of them, and I commend them and applaud them for that.
Right. People like to support things.
Absolutely they do.
League 42 is a nonprofit. We get support. Did you decry that?
No, not really.
Do people who support us have too much money?
I don't know. I'd have to ask them individually if they did. Why are you being...
Because this topic, I'm very close to this topic.
Why are you being so confrontational?
Because
I didn't say a word about League 42. Calm down.
Well, you did say, why would anyone support their college?
No, I didn't. I just said, What's my return on the investment there?
Why do you need a return? Well, why can't you just do it because you support your university?
Absolutely.
I've given money to Wichita State, to the liberal arts department in the past. I haven't for
a while.
Okay,
well, I don't feel as strongly about this as you do, so I don't know what you want me to say.
You opened it up. You opened
a
can of worms. Yeah,
I opened it up with a little banter, a little, here's a little salvo I'm throwing, and now I got to act like, oh, I'm more passionate about this than anything.
I am pretty passionate about it.
No, I got to act like that to match you, and I don't. I'm not.
Philanthropy is a big part of being a citizen, right?
Absolutely.
You find a cause you believe in, you help them out. I gave online, I gave some money to the Humane Society the other day.
It's very nice
of
you.
Not a ton of money, but, you know, just a little money.
Good.
That's
congratulations.
What people normally do. Normal people do that.
Awesome.
They don't have to have a lot of money.
Cool.
I also gave a little money, not very little.
Are we going to throw a ticker tape parade down West Street for
you?
We're
not, but I gave some money to Wikipedia, believe it or not.
How about that?
Because I use that website often, and, you know, every once in a while they'll say, hey, we need a little money to continue to survive and flourish. $15. Good.
There you have it. You good?
I'll come at you,
man. Do you get everything out of your system there?
There was nothing in my system.
Oh, there was a lot in your system.
But I really, really believe philanthropy is important and supporting things you believe in.
Absolutely, and I did not ever say that it wasn't.
Well, you apparently don't want the people to fly to Memphis.
And I hope they have a good flight.
If you're in they're already there. If you're in Memphis right now, and you're a Shocker fan, and you're getting ready to watch the game tonight at the FedEx Forum. Is that the name of their building?
Probably.
Have fun.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. You only live once. This opportunity may never come along again. It's going to be a fun one. It's televised nationally. It's a big one. Oh, live it up. That's where I'm at.
Have you given money in the past?
Of course I have.
I'd love to know to whom.
Okay, well, you're not gonna, so.
So you have?
Of course.
Well, that's good. Proud of you for that.
I enjoy it, but I don't need to broadcast it, literally or figuratively.
I didn't broadcast it. I just gave you a couple examples of a guy that doesn't have a lot of money, giving not a lot of money to a few things I support.
Who needs some money?
That's all.
Yeah, I feel you.
It makes me feel good to support the Humane Society.
Good. I still need to go and volunteer over there.
Yeah, that.
Got to find that in my schedule.
I count that as a no-show.
Well, no. I just need to figure out the time frame.
Well, good.
Because once you sign up, they get back with you like immediately, and then, I don't know, I got to find out when I can commit to that.
Oh, you already signed up.
No, I will sign up. But I'm saying once you sign up, it's like they're not going to be like, oh, well, we have this time in May that you can do. It's like immediately. So I have to figure out when I can commit.
Well, I can say unequivocally that every animal over there deserves your attention.
I have a lot of animals of my own that get a lot of attention.
Hopefully that'll happen. Max, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Jeff Calkins from the Memphian in Memphis, Tennessee. Tigers, Shockers tonight. I don't know how much we're anticipating the game, but it's always fun to watch. This should be such a great rivalry. These should be the two highlight teams in the American Athletic Conference.
The torch bearers of the American.
And maybe someday that will be the case. Back in a minute.
is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, one and done the musical theme. These bands had big hits and then not a whole lot else. Take On Me from A-ha. Here's Jeff Calkins from the Memphian in Memphis, Tennessee. Longtime member of the media there in Memphis. Jeff, hello, welcome.
Good to be back. How are you?
Yeah, so every year I like to check in on what's going on with the Memphis Tigers. They play at home tonight against Wichita State, so that's mm-hmm. the timeliness of this interview. I'm curious, Jeff, as you know, I've asked you this in the past, where Memphis is, where their brain trust is, what they're thinking about their current state, being in the American Athletic Conference, which frankly isn't having a very good basketball year.
Right.
What's Memphis's thought pattern right now?
Oh, I think it's probably much as it always is, which is, you know, Memphis is a school that would love to be somewhere else. I mean, it's just the reality, right? But they actually were part of the, you know, this idea, were they going to go to this new Mountain West in the fall? Like that was the, you know, the new PAC, then the I guess what they're going to call it, what are they calling it, the PAC. It was at some point the PAC 2, and they were being recruited to join that, and they just didn't see it as a viable option, partly because the TV deal is uncertain, partly because the travel was so crazy. And so they, you know, they elected to stay in the American, and I don't think it ever was close, honestly, from the administration's perspective. From the fans' perspective, I think there was some intrigue because, honestly, people are just sort of fed up with it. You're in a position now in the conference where if you're Memphis, and Memphis at this point is ranked and you know, on bracketology is five seed and whatever else, they play a series of games that winning them does no good. There's not a single game left on the schedule where a win would enhance your resume. And every loss is devastating. And that's a weird way to watch a basketball game. You should, when you're watching basketball, there should be a balance of joy and agony. Joy if you win, agony if you lose. Now, you know, like Memphis just beat Charlotte Sunday. And, you know, only bad things could have happened in that game. They ended up winning. But if you lose, it's cataclysmic. If you aspire to be a, you know, not, you know, to have a top five seed, for example. And so it's a dismal situation to be in, given the state of the basketball conference, but you can't just, you know, wave a wand and, you know, pop over to the SEC or something. That's not how it works. So in the end, they say the same thing all the time. You know, we have to do the best we can with where we are. And that's the best way to improve our situation, whether we stay where we are or whether we end up going somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know if these two things are necessarily connected, but does an expanded college football playoff give Memphis a chance to grow their cachet to where they'd be more attractive to a Power Four conference if they win a few American Conference titles and sneak into the 12-team CFP and maybe get a little right. bit more national notoriety? I assume that can't hurt, but does it help?
No. I think it helps for a couple of reasons. A, it just helps that it a football season is more intriguing when there's the possibility that you could, you know, be the team that sneaks in, right? And so if you can be Boise and get in, and, you know, they ended up, you know, hosting a game. But, I mean, they ended up getting the bye. But if you can sneak in, that's great. It makes the season more intriguing. The truth of the matter is there were high hopes for Memphis football that it would do that this year. And in the end, they didn't do that. They didn't even make the conference championship game. So it's incumbent on them to under Ryan Silverfield, they haven't yet gotten to a conference championship, much less won a conference title. So I do think it's more fun on its own. I think it's enhanced the world of college football with the expanded playoff. And yes, you look at it, what was Cincinnati's ticket, right, to get into a better conference? Well, they became a football power in the American, and that very clearly enhanced their resume. So sure, I think that's the goal. And the other thing you see is that it's funny how NIL has changed everything. But you know, you have all these schools complaining about you know, that you're being outspent by other people. At least in the small fishbowl that is the American, Memphis outspends other people. You had Trent Dilfer, the coach at UAB, the other day, publicly complaining about two schools in the American. He didn't name them. Two schools in the American that pay guys that he would like to have, that pay them to come be backups. Well, he's talking, one of the schools he's certainly talking about is Memphis. So it's sort of interesting to be one of the haves, at least in the world of the conference. But it also removes any excuse for not dominating. You know, Memphis has not done, given its history and its resources, both the basketball and the football programs should have done better than they have done over the last few years, because they are, it is very clearly one of the richest schools in the American.
Jeff Calkins with us from the Memphian. As I said before, I think you came on with us. This game tonight, Memphis-Wichita State. Of course, I've been in Wichita for a long, long time. Yeah. You've been in Memphis. Wichita State should be the marquee game in the American. Wichita State certainly not upholding its end of that bargain.
Right.
How important is it for some of these schools? If Memphis is going to be in the American for a while, why can't Wichita State, why can't UAB, why can't Temple, why can't some of these schools elevate themselves?
No, I think it's been discouraging, you know, and you get schools that do turn into, you know, I mean, Houston obviously was a power when they were in the American, and then now they're gone. Florida Atlantic was briefly a blip, right? It felt like that obviously was not sustainable. But it is interesting because we were talking about one of the issues with Memphis has been, are they motivated every night, right? And it is true with Wichita State. We were talking about this on my radio show today. The season has not been what it should be. The program has not been what it should be. But it still has some shine to the name. You know, you might have a hard time getting up for East Carolina or North Texas, although North Texas is decent, or Charlotte or whatever. But Memphis, I do think, will be focused again with Wichita State because the brand is still there, right? I think there's a bunch of reasons, honestly. Obviously, you got Colby Rogers playing his old team. You got the fact that Wichita State beat him, knocked him out last year. And then you got the fact that Wichita State, even though they're not playing up to the program standards, it does still have some cachet to it. There's a little extra zip when it comes to Wichita State, and I think that will focus the mind. But there's no question. I mean, I remember when Wichita State first joined the conference, you're like, this is going to lift the profile of the entire conference. And instead, you're exactly right. It's been unfortunate that they haven't held up their end of things.
How does this Memphis team compare to some of the Penny Hardaway teams of the past? They've done a really good job kind of rating the rest of the American Conference of their better players to build a roster. And, I mean, that's fine with me. But I don't know, is the top-level talent there the way maybe it used to be?
Well, it's a funny thing because Penny has transformed completely. You know, he came in the sort of one – when he got here – the NIL wasn't a thing. It was still, you know, one and done players. And so, you know, he'd go get Amani Bates and Jalen Duren and like James Wiseman once a time briefly. And so there was he had number one recruiting classes based in the old world with high school, you know, players. And then he changed. And so last year he had a whole bunch of, talented, at least ostensibly, talented players who completely imploded, hated each other. He didn't particularly care for them. They didn't guard. They were just like the the most expensive item in the store. You buy it, not thinking about how well it fits with everything else. So this year, it's a bunch of players. You know, P.J. Haggerty's probably as good a player. Sorry, he's good. He's not as good a pro prospect, but he's good. He's good a college basketball player as Penny has had. He's been just tremendous, honestly. And Tyrese Hunt, a really good college basketball player. Not the same kind of. You don't see these guys in mock drafts. But what they are is deeply experienced college basketball players. And maybe, you know, that's the new formula. So, and the other, the big difference is they don't seem to hate each other and they do seem to, you know, play for each other. And so, you know, last year they had a pretty darn good non-conference season and then they absolutely imploded in the conference season. This year they had a tremendous non-conference season, which I think surprised people, beating UConn and beating Michigan State, and on and on. And then they've hung in there. Now, they haven't played as well once you've gotten to the conference schedule. They have some very clear vulnerabilities. They're not a good rebounding team, and they turn the ball over. But they guard, they shoot well, and they have three guards in Haggerty, Hunter, and Rogers who are, I don't know that they're the best three in the country, but if you're going to say what are the 20 best backcourts in the country, they're in there. And so, you know, from that perspective, they're a very good American Conference team, it strikes me, American Athletic Conference team. But no, they don't have the high-end NBA-level talent that Penny had in his early years.
You mentioned Haggerty, who is, man, what a dynamite scorer he is, especially. He's been at TCU. He was at Tulsa last year where he really came on the stage. And then he came, of course, this year to Memphis. And we know how transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, you and I have been around a long time. I feel so bad. Every time I hear him mentioned, I feel bad for Tulsa instead of my joy for Memphis.
Right,
it's
yeah.
It's a strange world.
Oh, no. And it is funny. Like, Memphis football just concluded their season, and they have a quarterback in Seth Hennigan who played here all 4 years, started 4 years. That will never happen again, you know. Heck, you look back at the, you know, some of the glory days in Memphis football. D'Angelo Williams was just a magnificent running back for the Memphis Tigers who stayed 4 years. He would have a freshman year now at Memphis, and he would be off to Ohio State the next day, you know. It's why I think in the end, if you're going to do it, I think ultimately you're going to need to call them employees and have contracts. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I mean, I think everyone acknowledges it's an unacceptable system. They just don't know how to fix it. But like right now, it would be devastating for the Memphis Grizzlies if Ja Morant could just decide, you know what, I'd rather go be somewhere else. But he can't because he has a contract. That's what stops it from happening. But, you know, every other sport, there's not unbridled free agency because people have contracts. And if you don't have contracts, and I don't just mean endorsement contracts with NIL suppliers, but if you don't have contracts and the courts have made it very clear that you don't have the right to otherwise restrict the movement of athletes, I don't see how there is a way out of this without, you know, ultimately concluding whether people like it or not, that there are employees who sign employment deals and it can be a 2-year deal or it can be a 3-year deal or it can be at least a 1-year deal where a player won't have to, you know, won't decide after week 3 that they've been demoted to a backup. And so they're going to, you know, get the heck out of here. I mean, it is disastrous from that perspective.
All right, Jeff, we always enjoy our visits. Thank you for coming on the show and we'll catch up with you at a later date.
I look forward to being on. Hope you folks are well. Thanks.
Thanks.
Take care. Jeff Calkins,
yep, so long.
From the Memphian. As we, I'm drawn to that program because we go way back here in Wichita with Memphis, formerly two members of the Missouri Valley Conference.
That's correct.
And Memphis had some incredible teams in that era as well. Can you name the two superstar All-Americans for the Memphis Tigers called Memphis State in those days?
Sure can't.
70s. Larry Finch and Larry Keenan. Those were their guys.
All right. Can you name? I don't know. They had Penny Hardaway.
That's a little later.
It was still Memphis State, though.
Yeah, well, yes, but those were the guys that were the big superstars of that era.
How come you're seeing all these, like, Memphis States, Memphis, UNC Charlotte, Charlotte, UMKC's Kansas City? Why aren't we Wichita?
Branding. We used to be Wichita.
I know. Why aren't we now?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Kevin Saul that the next time we have him on.
If that has been a consideration.
That could be a Board of Regents thing.
Maybe so.
I don't know the intricacies of that. I know that in my early life, it was the University of Wichita.
Was it through like the mid-60s?
Yes, sir.
Like the first, I don't know.
Wichita State came to be in around 1967, 66.
Well, I don't know if
in
it's,
that era.
I don't know if it's accurate. But when I was looking up the 64-65 team and Dave Stallworth's stats, his first 2 years said Wichita, and then 64-65 said Wichita State.
Maybe that's the year they changed.
Maybe.
I know that on their uniform it just had Wichita.
That'd be cool if it was that now.
And that uniform, and boy, you're making me go back. You're making me think of things. They came out with they didn't have warm-up pants in those days. But when they came out of that tunnel, you know the tunnel I'm talking about.
Not I do.
The one the Shockers come out of now, the tunnel that both teams use.
The mid-tunnel.
They had a little what do you call it, on their backs. A little fabric with their names on that.
A little stitching. Little.
And it was always exciting when the Shockers came out of that tunnel.
Absolutely.
Here is Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, as we talk some K-State sports. And, boy, it's been a little dour with Fitz here, at least with men's basketball. We'll get to the women's team here in a moment. But they, I thought they had that one last night down in Waco against Baylor. They led all the way. They're winning. Everything's looking pretty good and couldn't seal the deal, Fitz.
Now they're not good enough. I mean, they're getting there. They're beginning to understand who they are and what they need to be, but will that add up to enough to win games? Well, I mean, they all but had that one won. They were up by 12 in the second half and end up losing by 8 after just getting buried in the final 10 minutes of the game and hardly scoring in the final 5. And this has been a symptom that's been reoccurring for this team, fading at the wire, and it's not been like other Jerome Tang teams, so it seems to be this group, but they're getting there. They have some opportunities here at home coming up, and then they start running that gauntlet in this conference as you're going to – everyone hits once in a while, and KU, Arizona, and others just all lined up waiting for them.
So when you say that they're figuring out who they are and where they want to be or what they want to be, does that mean they haven't quite figured those out yet, or does that mean they have figured it out and they just haven't yet achieved it?
Yeah, I think it's that. They know what they need to do now. They're not to the point where they can perpetuate it for big enough segments of the game, whether it's the start at Kansas that was so disastrous or the finish at Baylor that was so disastrous. In this conference, 30 minutes of excellent basketball means you lose. And if you play really well and you don't finish and you don't play a more complete game, you're going to lose. And they just aren't good enough, put together enough at this point to get it done.
Tim Fitzgerald with us from GoPowerCat.com. Frequent guest on the show. You know that if you listen to the Bob and Jeff show. We had a debate earlier about philanthropy and why people support their alma mater, and Jeff just couldn't understand it.
This isn't a fair representation of that at all.
Well, it's sort of fair. So I'm thinking to myself now, here we are in the year 2025, and everything's changed about college athletics. You see these teams, you mentioned that these guys are figuring it out, but probably once they figure it out, who knows how many of them will hit the transfer portal after the year, and we may see mostly a new roster next year, and when will they figure it out? How does that fit with philanthropy and supporting your athletic department financially? Because if I'm a fan, I'm not sure that I feel the same way. I'm not sure that I want to open up the checkbook the way maybe I did last year or the year before. I don't know what I'm really trying to say, Fitz, but I don't know. This is turning me off. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of fans are that way. But I also think we need to understand the different subsets of fans. there's those who, you know, donate regularly and aren't, you know, the big guns, but, you know, they buy seat licenses. They up their Ahern donations in the case of Kansas State's fund. They have better seats. They might sit at seat, you know, courtside seats at, in Bramlage Coliseum, but they're not the influencers. You know, they've just got enough money or access to, you know, maybe corporate money to make it fun for them. And I can see those people saying, yeah, you know, I enjoy K-State basketball, and I think it's basketball right now that is what's happened in basketball has been more dramatic than football because you can buy an entire roster in a year, and it's disgusting, and it's not working. And I think people are losing their connection to the players and, in turn, the university, that the players have always been their conduit. And when they're here for a year and gone and here for a year and gone, you don't, that conduit isn't very sturdy. Now, the other side of that is the really wealthy who have names on stuff and can, or maybe they don't want that, but they can use their money for influence. I think they feel like I can be part of my alma mater winning something significant. I can buy the players that will get us there. That might work in football. I think Ohio State just proved it can work in football. But you can't do it in basketball and lose your locker room and kind of never have a culture carrying over from year to year. It's just too hard to craft that year in and year out. Sometimes these parts you bring in from the portal won't fit together. They fit together in his first year, not so much in their second year. And the third year in which we thought they were really talented, it ain't working. Not at least at the level anyone expected. So I see it. And then the third group, of course, is the people more like us. We can't afford the tickets hardly. And, you know, a lot of people, a vast majority of fans are watching from home, or they do save up to go to games and be in the parking lot, but they're in no way influencing anyone with their money. And I think this erodes their passion in some ways to see teams get purchased, you know, for the talent, and now those student athletes are making a lot more than they do to play the game, and they're not even as invested as the fan who doesn't make that kind of money. So there's just a lot of moving parts here that are not working in cohesion in any way.
In your experience with these athletes who are making decent sums of money, is there such a thing as NIL, or are we just handing money to play? Do you know of any players who have actually, hey, I'm going to perform a task or do a job, or is it just I'm playing and that's it?
Yeah, a lot of that's going on, and that was never the spirit of what the courts ruled. You can profit from your name, image, and likeness, but they didn't endorse professional athletics, and I think the NCAA's actions in not having action, their inaction, has caused all this by not enforcing any kind of guidelines here. We've just got into buying players, and I'm a big fan of the NIL. I like the fact that someone like Avery Johnson, who has influence over fans that people like, can, you know, go to a car dealership and get a vehicle and do commercials for them and do other stuff for them. That's what NIL is supposed to be. And a lot of student-athletes have that. But I think we know now that a majority of them are just getting paid to play a sport. And I think we're about to find out the differences between being committed to your alma mater and cheering for the teams and being a fan of a professional franchise, because that's where college athletics seems to be heading, and hopefully someone will steer it off that course.
Let's hope so. Tim Fitzgerald is our guest from GoPowerCat.com. We're talking all things K-State sports. And let's get to something that's very positive, been a lot of fun. The program that Jeff Mitty has built on the women's basketball side, they are 19-1. They play at Colorado coming up Saturday. Now, they've had a key injury, but welcome to the repetition here. Ioka Lee is currently sidelined, having another very good year, but it looks to me, Fitz, last year they kind of collapsed a little bit when she got injured. It looks to me on the outside looking in that this team has better depth. Are they more able to withstand this injury?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They really do have better depth. Got more tools, more players that can take over a game in her absence. And she's played significantly less this season in terms of minutes. Her workload was down as they tried to preserve her, and you know that didn't quite work out because she did suffer another, I believe, foot injury. They think she'll be back this season, which is good. She came back last year, and the team was never quite the same as they were before her injury. But the difference this year isn't just the talent. It's the fact that they've played, she's been, you know, around 20 minutes a game. So they've played almost half of every game without her and have been really good. So they know how to play without her and at a level that they didn't last year. And they've just got more answers, people that can do more things. And they use the portal to go get a score, go get some depth behind Aoka. And I think it's going to really pay off this team. I don't see them dropping off a lot, but boy, it's a lot easier to win games when you got a dominant post player that can has incredible fundamentals and can score at ease and pass and rebound. That's true of men's basketball, women's basketball, and probably your local youth league. If you got someone dominant in the middle, you're going to win games.
What's the attendance like between the men and the men's and women's team? How do they compare?
Well, it's been fairly comparable until recently, but it's also hard to tell right now because the students are just now arriving back. They'll be back for that Saturday game. And the women tend to draw more from the community. Students also. Students will go there, but, you know, really the men's games are alumni from, you know, drivable distance and a lot of students. And these games, a lot of families bring their kids. A lot of older citizens, seasoned citizens, go to these games. It costs less, and I don't want to say family-friendly. That's not exactly what I mean, but there's something about the way these women play basketball that is refreshing to us olds. They use something in their games called fundamentals. I don't know if some of these male players have heard of it, but it's how we learn to dribble, pass, and you know, share the ball, and those things that work as a team. And you don't just worry about your points and how much NIL you're getting. So women's basketball, and particularly high-level women's basketball like this, is really enjoyable to watch.
All right, Tim Fitzgerald, we appreciate it very much. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you for being on.
Okay, boys. Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
There you go, Tim Fitzgerald. Go PowerCat.com as we visit about K-State athletics.
So what we do?
Well, we do it when we have Fitz on.
And occasionally other times.
Occasionally.
I told you I heard some of that pregame shows. Riveting.
Why were you listening to that?
I went to the Y at around 7 last night.
Are you going
to
mention that every time you're on the show?
But I. You asked.
So. I think I have a bet with a friend of mine that you'll mention it once per show.
Well, you're going to lose that bet. Unless he said I would.
Those kind of guys, those people, the New Year's resolution people. That's you. All right,
whatever
one hour
say,
to
man.
Go. We'll make some picks coming up in hour number two. Jason Duda has sent in his picks. He doesn't even want to bother with us anymore. He's so far ahead.
Sure.
Back in a minute.